We are talking with Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools Kathy Parker on this weekend's Motherlode Views, getting up to speed on all things local education in Tuolumne County. Superintendent Parker, next thing I want to ask you about, you know, in the current fashion of going with the distance learning model, you know, the aspect of the digital divide with families and trying to bridge that, what are some things that schools are doing?
We have, most of the schools have accepted the offer by T-Mobile in order to gain hotspots. The hotspots are free, but the services aren't, and so many of us are using our funds to pay for those hotspots to deploy out to our student populations and also our staff populations so that they can engage in distance learning. We, for example, TCSOS is now becoming one-to-one, so every student will have their own device, if not very shortly. We still have a few that have not had their own device and they're using their own, but we have those on order. And as soon as those come in, which I think they're expected in the next few weeks, we'll have those one-to-one. Many of the other school districts have also done the same thing as well. Where we find our challenge is there are simply areas in our county where there is no internet access. And so while, for example, Comcast has done a wonderful thing and opened up all of their Xfinity hotspots to the public, the problem is if you're in an area where there is no internet access at all, there's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter how many hotspots and how many devices you have. So we really need our local leaders. We need our state assemblymen and our state senator, Assemblyman Bigelow and Senator Borges, to really look at that digital divide that really exists in rural versus non-rural areas. We have a very difficult message to communicate, because who we're communicating to are state leaders in a capital that has Wi-Fi accessible everywhere. And it just is not within their scope of knowledge that how could there be areas where there just is no internet? And there is. They're up here in Tuolumne County. You can drive along, for example, on Mongeway Road, and you can be fine with your internet and then just go down the hill a little bit, and now all of a sudden you're in a dead spot. And so what happens when you live down in those little crooks and nannies of our county and you have no access? And it's not just a problem for distance learning. It's a problem for our community and also our business realm. It would mean so much to our community in order to grow our access to internet and grow our small businesses, to be able to have that no matter where we go. And that means that our internet service providers really need to step up and start installing the towers and the type of equipment that we need to be able to operate in a rural area and know we have reliable access to internet.
For people who unfortunately just don't have that internet, as you mentioned, is it kind of books and paper packets type of a thing for those students?
It is, and there's value. There's, of course, lots of value in that. But again, we don't want to, we can give books and packets and those kind of things to everybody. It's now that they don't have access to that. They're missing a piece of learning that for them may be the best way they learn. So we need to make sure that we're pushing that message to our state legislators. We're making sure that we're telling our business partners and those who have access to people who are at Comcast, Verizon, to all of those internet service providers, that this is an equity issue and they need to address it immediately.
What we're going through right now, of course, is new in the education community and for the community at large. Do you have any just message that you would put out there for community members?
Yeah, I do. It's been a very trying experience for everybody. Now, nobody wanted to have everyone stay home and do distance learning. We've made the decisions we've made in the interest of safety and health of students. And I know there's a trade-off. I know that I know firsthand that our students are going through a time where it's very difficult for them. I know that a lot of the services, and I hope the community understands now, that schools provide a lot of the services that typically used to be in a long time ago, well, not that long ago, but some time ago, used to just be provided through the community. These are things like food services, food nutrition services, things like mental health services, sports, extracurricular activities. those have all started to become embedded in the school community. And when schools are closed to in-person access, all of those other things go along with it. Childcare, for example. So I worked with the county. We have a third party that has a facility and staff, and they reached out to us and said, how can we help in this time? I have staff that are willing to help. And while childcare facilities are able to open at this point, we looked at it and said, well, how can we minimally have contact between your staff and children? How many children could we bring to this facility? And how could that help our county and our city and our district essential workers, meaning those are the people that are answering our 911 calls. Those are the people on the fire trucks right now heading over to the fire. They're the ones that are working in OES. They're the ones that are really providing those essential services that we all want. And so, you know, that was great. That's still very nerve-wracking in a way because we do have a group of kids that will be assembling together under very strict guidelines. But it would be that or shut down those services. And I don't think any of us want to call dispatch and not have someone answer. So all of those things go into how our community can help. They can be understanding of the challenges we're facing. We know what schools are to the community. They can also continue to have our county move in the right direction with all of our metrics. They can continue to maintain masking in public spaces and staying apart from each other at least by 6 feet when they're with people from outside of their household. They can limit their households from mixing. The Journal of Pediatrics just today confirmed earlier studies that took place this summer and that were published in the Journal of American Medical Association of Pediatrics, that the viral load of children is as high, it may actually be higher than adults. So making sure that children additionally are masked or wearing face shields in congregate settings is very important. You can contact your state legislators, like I mentioned, Assemblyman Bigelow and Senator Bordias, and encourage them to have the trailer bill language regarding limits on being able to file lawsuits against schools limited. That trailer bill expires August 31st, so they can help push that through. They can continue to access the state testing facility in Angels Camp and contact public health when they suspect that they've been in contact with somebody who has COVID and they want to reduce the spread. And then they can cooperate with contact tracing. So if and when we do open in person, if they cooperate with contact tracing, we can minimize any outbreak and we can make sure that we limit that spread. We all need to do our part to see that schools reopen safely for our staff and our students. And I know our community can do that. They've shown that they can so far by moving in the right direction. And so it's just a matter of time before we get to the point where we can reopen schools safely, but we can't do it without our community support.
Well, Superintendent Parker, we'll end on that note. Thank you so much for coming on and getting us up to speed on all things education.
You're welcome.
Again, we thank Superintendent Kathy Parker for Tuolumne County Schools for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week with more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.